Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grootniplink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy, and in this podcast, Blake and I are going to give you all the best streamers and ad options for next week so you can start planning early. Let's get it. Now, of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the analyst I recommend and master of the full send, Blake Creamer, here with me. Blake, how are you feeling tonight?
Oh, damn. Am I really the analyst you recommend? Would you recommend me if it wasn't you?
Absolutely.
100%. Oh, my God. That makes me feel good. Seriously. Yeah, buddy, I feel awesome. Everybody, this is a special night because Nate and I are partaking in a beverage. All right. We never do this, but here's to you, buddy. On YouTube, we've got the thing. Cheers. Clink.
Cheers.
There you go. We never get to drink together. Buddy, I would love to have a beer with you sometime. I mean, we're on opposite ends of the country. So, you know, we'll make it happen again. I did get a chance to visit with Nate this summer. He came down to Vancouver Island with his family. And yeah, that was hopefully we can do that a little bit more, buddy. But until then, we just got to crush in fantasy hockey. That's what we got to do.
That is what we got to do. And one of the ways we do that is with some newsies. So, Blake, why don't you hit us off there?
Unbelievable segue. This guy's a professional. Okay. Here's the newsies. We got to talk about newsies in the game tonight. Mason McTavish for the Anaheim Ducks. He's out with a lower body injury. So just keep an eye on that. You've got those beauties, Sam Carrick and Ryan Strome, sticking on power play one, and Jackson Lacombe. Who are these guys? Oh, but that's your power play one. They're in Anaheim, and they're actually doing pretty good. I think Strome has a goal tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go. Anyways, that's what's going on with Anaheim. Keep an eye on McTavish moving forward here. How about this? Victor Arvidsson. See you at the party, Victor. Yes, we will see you at the party, Victor. All right. He's getting close to a return. This guy's shed his non-contact jersey, and he's been working out with the team in practice. So that's great news. And he's also been skating with PLD and Alex Laferriere, which is okay, I think, for now. But I would love it if he could get back on that line with Trevor Moore and Philip Deneau. I think that's, you know, where he's had success. But currently, Kevin Fiala is rocking there right now, not doing a damn thing, really, unfortunately. But anyways, with Victor Arvidsson, this is a player I think should definitely be added. I've added him in one spot in a league that I could just put him right to my IR. But I think this guy's going to be viable. He's going to do stuff, right? He's a middle six forward, but those guys get a lot of burn in LA, and he's a great power play performer. So I don't know. You got any take on Arvidsson? What do you think his outlook is once he returns to the lineup here, Nate?
Yeah, so I have to say it really will depend on where he actually slots into the lineup and how many minutes he's likely to get. Just the way we've talked about how LA is deploying their top nine there, just really spreading things out a lot. So that matters for sure. But Arvidsson at his best has definitely been a guy that we can rely on in fantasy and has been a rest of season hold. So it's definitely somebody I'm monitoring closely as he comes back.
Absolutely. He's a metrics guy too. Great shots and goal per 60, chance generation. Love this. So hopefully he can get back to that once he gets back to the lineup. Book it. All right. I got him on the team. That's your league winner right there, folks. Let's move on. Got to talk about Andrei Svechnikov. He himself has declared himself ready to return, but we haven't seen anything official yet, but I would expect Svech to be back in the lineup on Saturday against the Devils. So that's good. Get ready to activate him and think about your drops and everything. I think he should, you know, get right back to the top line, top power play. That's what I'd guess. I mean, before he got injured and since he came back from his first injury, he had 19 points in 13 games. So that was excellent. He was really cooking. So this was an unfortunate injury. It was a completely different injury that Svechnikov got, but, he sounds like he's back and ready to rock. So get him back in your lineups. All right. News in Calgary, Dan Vladar, the backup goalie there, they put him on IR and they called up Dustin Wolf. And I only mention this because there have been some rumors about Jacob Markstrom potentially being moved. And I think there's some traction there. Like he's a very valuable goaltender. I'm not sure he's in the Flames' future plans, right? Especially because they got Wolf there. So to me, I think Wolf could be a potential add as a zero G option, right? And we're not adding him right now, but I think you should keep your eye on this guy and be ready to pounce if Markstrom gets moved because Vladar's injured. And I think they might kind of just roll with Wolf, really, to be honest. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nate?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. They definitely have to retain some on Markstrom in my mind. He's 34 years old now. He's signed through 25, 26, $6 million a year. So it would have to be the right move for them to be able to move him for something of value. He's been actually pretty solid this year in general. So would be interested to see where he would go and what that might do for his value. But yeah, anybody getting any kind of volume in a space like that, like we've seen guys like Anton Forsberg in years past have a big run in a similar situation where they were kind of thrust into a leading role for a team that nobody was paying attention to. And all of a sudden they were winning people leagues. So definitely I'm always interested when big time goalies move around and that opens up opportunities for others.
Damn Skippy. I think if Markstrom did get moved, it'd probably be a benefit to him, right? Because he's been playing out of his mind, I think, with Calgary, but their metrics, team metrics have been, you know, kind of trash this season. So he's been playing above average. So if he goes to a better team, I mean, potentially we should get a better result. I don't know. That's my logic and I'm sticking to it. How about this, Nate? Alex Newhook is getting power play one in Montreal. What do you think about this?
Yeah, Alex Newhook is not somebody who typically excites me in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, I mean, we saw what it did for Sean Monahan. It made him a marginally rosterable fantasy asset, and Alex Newhook, maybe it'll do the same, but I'm really not holding my breath there.
Yeah, there you go. That Montreal power play, not the worst thing in the world, though, and I was actually looking at, I think it was Fired Up Fantasy Hockey did a video, so shout out to him. But he was just talking about Nick Suzuki, our favorite here on Apples and Genos. But this guy's already got 23 power play points in 50 games. That's pretty damn good. I mean, he could get over 30 there. He probably will get over 30. So, I mean, you know, access to Suzuki, Caulfield, I mean, that's definitely going to boost Newhook's value, which was currently at the ground zero. All right, so that's where we're at with that. Let's move on. We got to talk about Auntie Ranta. Auntie Ranta, would you like a cookie, son? No, thank you, Auntie Ranta. I'm good. First off, Kochetkov was pulled in the game against Colorado while they were up, which was a really interesting move because he let a goal in from center. Sam Girard went bar down from center. It was ridiculous. So Ranta comes in, gets injured, and then Kochetkov comes back in and at least gets the dub. Thank you, because I needed that. He's on my team. But yeah, so Ranta is injured. I don't know what the situation is there. They've got Spencer Martin backing up now. And Seth Jarvis sounds like he's nursing a minor injury. He took a maintenance day with practice. So just keep an eye on that. On Yahoo, he's not even showing injured, so it might be nothing. But just keep an eye on Seth Jarvis. He might be nursing an injury there. Just keep an eye on it. Updates to come. Over to Ottawa, Jake Sanderson, the Sandman. He's doubtful to play this weekend, so we don't have to worry about that. It's still Thomas Chabot on power play one for some unknown reason. I don't know. We got Jacob Chychrun cooking on power play two. Chychrun's an interesting piece, like maybe coming up to the trade deadline here. Do you think there's a chance that we see Jacob Chychrun on another team?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a piece they should be thinking about how they're going to keep long term and not move off of. But I mean, Ottawa has made some questionable decisions in the past regarding player personnel as well. So it wouldn't be either the most shocking if they did decide to move on. I mean, they've moved coaches, they've done a bunch of stuff already this year. So it wouldn't be the most shocking if they decided to make some substantial shakeups to the player personnel as well. At some point, you know, if the players can't figure it out, then you do sort of start to assign the blame to the players, and maybe some players do start to get moved, and the guy who just arrived might be the first guy to move back out. Maybe that's the way they look at it. I wouldn't be doing that, but you never really know with Ottawa, to be quite honest.
You know what? We got to write an email to Gary Bettman, just a strongly worded email, and then like get a group of us fantasy analysts together and let us run one team. All right. And then just see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it can't be that hard, right, Nate? Are you with me on this?
I'm with you. It sounds like Arizona might be up for some new ownership sometime soon. So maybe we could take over there.
Dude, we could move down there. Arizona is amazing. All right. And Mullet Arena. Yes, please. All right. That's where I'm at. I wish that was my hometown. All right. That's a great place to play. I don't know where I'm going with this. Let's move on. We got to talk about the St. Louis Blues, Scott Perunovic and Justin Falk, both week to week with lower body injuries. So roll with Torrance Krug. this guy should probably be on a roster at this point. We've talked about him at points during this year as, you know, having some value, but it's obviously tied to power play one, and there's no one else to replace him with at this point. So I think Krug is definitely viable at this point. He's put up some good numbers when he's been getting the minutes. So yeah, get him on your team if it makes sense. So there you go. Got to talk about Mikhail Sergachev real quick. This is some of the most brutal news I've seen this year in terms of a player. Like, how's that for bad luck? I mean, guy comes back from a long-term injury and then breaks his tibia and fibula in the first game back. Oh God, I really feel for this guy. He had like a pretty heart-wrenching update on Instagram as well. Just really raw. You know, I can't imagine what that must be like. You work so hard to get back and then you're out for the season again, maybe back for playoffs, but it's just such a grind for him to get back. So I don't know. There's no real fantasy implications here. We know what Tampa is like without Sergachev, but it just really sucks. Debbie Downer. Let's move on to Debbie Upper. All right. We're talking about Anton Forsberg. I don't know. This is not as up as I would like to go, but that's fine. Forsberg's been activated off the IR and he's backing up Korpisalo on Saturday night. So just keep an eye on the Ottawa goaltenders, right? Ottawa has been playing better as of late, but I mean, you know, it's we got to lower expectations here a little bit. I think the crease is up for grabs. Whoever starts playing well is going to take that crease in Ottawa. So Forsberg could be viable moving forward. And then lastly, I want to talk about Jamie Drysdale getting a look on the top power play there for the Flyers next game. You know, who the hell knows, right? Torts has really been kind of dinking us fantasy managers around the way, only the way Torts can. So, but right now, Jamie Drysdale is getting that deployment. If he gets like over 20 minutes in power play one, this guy's definitely worth a look, even on a garbage power play team like the Flyers. I don't know, my two cents. You got any take on Drysdale there?
Yeah, not too much. I do think he's worth rolling with as long as he keeps that. I do think he's the most offensively talented of the guys they've assembled there. I don't think that conversation is actually particularly close, but that probably means a lot more to me than it does to John Tortorella, as we've seen by his deployment of the forwards at various points throughout this season. So, yeah, I'm interested in Drysdale as long as he's on the power play one, but I would be very cautious about, you know, really thinking that this is going to last for the rest of the season.
Yep, absolutely. Buddy, talk to us about week 18 and the debacle that it is.
It is a bit of a debacle. On Monday, we got 4 games. Tuesday, 11 games. Wednesday, 3 games. Thursday, 12 games. Friday, we only have 1 single game. Saturday, 13 games. And Sunday, 3 games. So it's one of those weeks, folks. We got super heavy nights, and we got super light nights, unfortunately. So your options are going to be limited. In total, we get 47 games played. So it's, in general, a light week overall. Not a ton of games being played, but we do have 2 teams that open the week with a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. If you do end up having an open spot on the Tuesday, you could look at a New Jersey or a Seattle stream to get that Monday to Tuesday back-to-back. If you need the off nights early in the week, then there are a couple teams that give you Monday, Wednesday off nights to open the week. That would be Arizona and Minnesota. Arizona has the best schedule. They're on all 4 off nights, so they're the only team that can give you Wednesday, Friday off nights or Friday, Sunday off nights. If you're looking for midweek or end of week kind of off night scheduling, Arizona is going to be your only option there. So yeah, in general, it really is just a brutal streaming week. Arizona is going to be everybody's target. Off nights are completely at the utmost premium that they ever will be in a week like this. Yep. So you're going to have to really prioritize that to be able to get the most games played out of your lineup. In weeks like this, where it is really difficult to stream with your streamer spots and to not use your ads on just like single games being played, it is a week where you may want to evaluate grabbing a goaltender, an extra goaltender, depending on when they're playing, depending on, you know, if you think they're going to give you a couple starts this week, when your other goaltenders that you already have are playing. If you've been running with only 2 goaltenders, it's a good week to grab a 3rd goaltender potentially and kind of use your streamer spot in goaltending rather than in your skater group. So stuff like that may be something you really need to evaluate a little bit more closely. You know, guys like David Riddick, LA plays 4 times next week. New Jersey goalies, depending on how that looks to start out next week, either Dawes or Vanecek, depending whoever's getting starts there, basically could be of interest. So take a look at that. It might be a week where you do have to evaluate streaming some goalies rather than the skaters you might normally be looking at. If you do have room on the Tuesday 11 game slate, then New Jersey or Seattle playing that Monday, Tuesday back to back, and then going into a Pittsburgh Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. So two of those are off nights, Wednesday and Sunday. That's really the best alternative to the week long Arizona stream that you can come up with. So, yeah. Unfortunately, your options are super limited here, but New Jersey or Seattle into Pittsburgh is kind of your next best option after an Arizona week-long stream, in my opinion. Anything to add there, Blake?
No, not only that, you know, I think we're going to clip that section of you talking about goalies, saying that you need to roster three goalies, and I think we should put that on the main page, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of just rebrand a little bit, you know what I mean? We talk about those spicy tendies. Going to run a train on these tendies.
All right.
Yeah, that's sorry.
We'll keep rolling on from that particular one. Why don't you take
you can edit that out?
Yeah, we'll edit that out in post for sure. But why don't you take us into the worst teams to stream from this week, Blake?
You bet, buddy. I'm on it. We got two particularly stinky teams here for this ugly week. This week is putrid. No question. I mean, like Nate said, the off nights are going to be premium. So these two teams that we're looking at here with a really bad schedule, Columbus Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals, both play two games, but zero off nights, right? And both of them play on the Tuesday, I think. So that's the 11-game Tuesday. So maybe you could get one of your players in on that Tuesday. And if you can, maybe you hold off dropping them until after the Tuesday. But, you know, chances are, like, who are you holding on, Columbus or Washington? That's, you know, you could probably just drop those guys and be done with it, right? Washington's going to be interesting because they were a great streaming team here this last week. So you're going to be getting rid of all your streamers here. Let's talk about Washington first. So we're looking at Tom Wilson. Wilson! Castaway. Dylan Strome. All right, Nate's favorite player. And Max Pacioretty, TJ Oshie. These are all guys, you know, that were probably, they're on the bubble for sure. I think the only one I'm looking at maybe holding there is Wilson, but I mean, it obviously depends on the format. In a banger format, you're not dropping Wilson, but I don't know. Where are you at with those four players there on Washington, Nate?
Yeah, Wilson's an interesting one. He's been really cold of late and he's still getting, you know, pretty good deployment playing on top line, yep. 18 plus minutes. So that part's a little bit interesting, but the underlying metrics have not been good for the last little bit either. He started out really hot, actually, yeah, earlier in the season. The underlying metrics look terrific, and then he's really cooled off the last, I don't know, definitely since Christmas, but I think going back even a little bit before that. So Wilson is somebody I'm considering dropping in points leagues. As you mentioned, in Bangers Cats, you're probably hanging on just for the overall utility of the player. Dylan Strome is a tough one for me too. 26th in shots per 60 over the last five here. He's got 5 points in his last five games, averaging over 18 minutes a night. Line one, power play one, all of it that you like to see. Dylan Strome is doing it. So that one's a little bit tough for me. I do have Dylan Strome in a couple places myself, and I'm really struggling on what I'm going to do with him. I feel like I can probably drop him and then add him back if I need to. So he is probably going to end up being a drop for me in most places, but I also wouldn't blame you for hanging on to him just given how productive he's been over the last little bit.
He's on a 55-point pace. Do you think he can hit that this season, Nate?
I think that's about where he should live. The personal metrics, the IPP, the shooting percentage are probably a touch high there, but the on-ice shooting percentage is probably a little bit low. It probably evens out to about the same. I think 55 points is probably a pretty solid estimate for him. But I mean, you know, we talk about Ovechkin and him potentially getting going. If he's got a lot of exposure to Ovechkin, maybe Ovechkin makes Strome a little bit unsustainable for the rest of the season, and he could even surpass that number. That's possible too.
Yeah, potentially. And then with Kuznetsov out as well, Strome's floor is a lot more solid. So there you go. Sure. I think you could, I'm of your mind as well. I think you could drop him. No one's going to be rushing to add Strome because you can't get him in on the Saturday. So you could drop him and probably, you know, sneak him back into your lineup if need be before next week. So anyways, that's Washington. Let's talk about Columbus. Bubble players. You know, we got Werenski on this list, but to be honest, I'm not dropping Zach Werenski in a two-game week here. No way, no how. All right. I'm riding till the end. We're going down with the ship. But Johnny Gaudreau, we've talked about this man as a drop for a long time. And this kills me. Boone Jenner. What? He's doing nothing. Like, you know, and I got to call it like it is. Like, Boone Jenner has not been very good this season, right? Especially since he's come back off injury. Like, you know, last five games, 0 points. The metrics are not great. He's not really, He's not really hitting, even doing anything else. Like, he's on a 42 point pace. It's not good enough, Boone. I'm sorry. You know what? You've been carrying the team so long. Take a season off, my guy. Let's get ready for next season. But yeah, I think you got to drop Boone Jenner in a 2-game week, especially this one, unless it's Bangers Cats. So I don't know where you're at with those players, Nate.
Yeah, I feel similarly. Werenski, like, when he's been healthy, has produced at a 60-point pace this season, only at 2-goal pace, but lots of assists. So he's just kind
goals.
Of
what the hell.
Yeah, that's not usual for Werenski. Usually, he's been a much better converter, and actually, like, I think I projected him for close to, if not over, 20 goals on the season.
Me too.
So he's definitely been that guy in the past, and will be again in the future. I'm sure it's just not on the cards in this particular iteration of this team. So for him, honestly, to be at a 60 point pace in the games that he has played so far is pretty indicative of a guy who's got a ton of talent. Like, if you just go at his season long metrics in the 38 games he has played: 15th in shots per 60, 18th in individual scoring chances four per 60, 29th in Corsi four per 60, and 42nd in scoring chances four per 60, playing 24 plus minutes a night for this Columbus team. Honestly, that's really, really impressive stuff. I think Zach Werenski is probably like a top 10, definitely top 15 offensive talent amongst all NHL defensemen in my eyes. So definitely not dropping Zach Werenski. It would have to get even more bleak for Columbus for me to think about dropping Zach Werenski. I kind of agree on Jenner. I think, yeah, probably similar to Wilson, honestly, at this point. You're not expecting a ton of offense from him at this point. It does seem like he hasn't found his groove since returning from injury. You hope that that's still something that he can find back and can, you know, improve on what he's been able to offer us so far. But it really is the team around him, I think, that's going to drag him down the most moving on out from here. And so for that reason, I would sign off on a Jenner drop if you felt you had to based on this week. I'm not, you know, excited about dropping him. I think there will be better days ahead at some point in this season. I just don't know exactly when that'll be. And as I've said before, there is an opportunity cost for hanging on to players who are just not producing for you. So I'm okay with dropping Jenner for this week. If you, if there is like that priority streamer out there that you just have to have, then definitely I'm not opposed to dropping Jenner.
Absolutely. If you're going to drop Jenner, it better be for somebody good. All right. That's what we're saying. I'm kind of hoping Jenner gets traded here before the trade deadline to a better team. Maybe he plays that second line role, second power play, but like less pressure. I mean, this guy's a beauty, right? But yeah, I don't think he's right since coming back off injury. So there you go. Let's move on to some other teams here. New York Islanders, Vegas Golden Knights, and the Winnipeg Jets. 2 games played with one off night. So of those teams, the Vegas Golden Knights, they play on the Monday. They play against Minnesota on the Monday. So again, you don't have to drop your Vegas players until after Monday. That would be my suggestion there. But I mean, the other teams, you know, the Islanders, their off night is the Sunday against the Rangers, and the Winnipeg Jets is Wednesday. So I don't think you want to hold the Jets player until Wednesdays, but I mean, suss that out for yourself. But anyways, let's look at some of these bubble players here. For the Islanders, we're looking at Anders Lee and Kyle Palmieri, that mercurial one, that amazing offensive unit. What the hell is Kyle Palmieri doing? And what are you doing with these players, Nate?
Yeah, pretty much all these players I'm okay to move off of, any of the bubble players from these teams. Lee, Palmieri from the Islanders, I'm okay to move off them. I will say Palmieri's underlying metrics have been insane the last little bit. Over the last 5 games, he's got 5 points, averaging about 17 minutes a night, 5th in shots per 60, 3rd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. On-ice numbers, not any worse. 7th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 11th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. Just ridiculous stuff from Kyle Palmieri. But I mean, you really can't anticipate that that's going to continue on forever for a guy who we pretty much feel like we know what he is and is getting towards his mid-30s now, is Kyle Palmieri. So I don't think we're witnessing some sort of actual rebirth under Patrick Roy. He's just having a little bit of a hot streak here. So I do think you can drop him. Yeah, especially if you're not getting him in for that Tuesday. If you can't get him in for Tuesday, it's a no-brain drop for either of those players. On the Vegas, I do agree. Keep those guys for the Monday off night. Let them play that game for you and then move off after that fact. Unless, you know, you really feel you have to drop for the Arizona priority streamer. If that player does exist in your league, then you could definitely drop before that. But yeah, I'm looking at all these guys: Barbashev, Braden McNabb in like Bangers Cats, Chandler Stevenson, Alec Martinez. If you're having him because of the power play one deployment, they went with Daniil Mayeromanov on the top power play the last game. So even that's gone in terms of Martinez's fantasy appeal. Even William Karlsson, like I'm okay to move off William Karlsson in a week like this after the Monday. Yeah, I don't think he's a priority hold for the rest of the season. So yeah, pretty much everybody I would say from Vegas, I'm okay with moving. And then you get to Winnipeg and you got guys like, I didn't realize, but Neil Pionk's above 50% rostered at this point. And I don't think that's necessarily indicative of his talent level or his rest of season production. I do think Pionk can be dropped. Ehlers and Vilardi. Ehlers is somewhere in the 60% range and Vilardi is still down in the 30% range. Honestly, I think those should probably be flipped the way that they've given ice time to these two players and given a deployment preference to these two players.
Right.
But either player, you know, depending on your league, I'm probably hanging on to both in 12-team leagues unless you're truly stacked and they are the last player on your team. But in 10-team leagues and below, you're probably having to take a long, hard look at both of those guys, whether you want to drop them. And then anybody below them, like your Sean Monahans or Cole Perfetti's, I think you're okay to drop them. And then if you want to grab them back the week after at some other point, I think they'll still be there for you.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy. I got to get on that Kyle Palmieri plan. What's this guy doing? He's probably just it's typical Kyle stuff, right? He's probably just chugging monsters in the dressing room, punching holes through the drywall, and then he goes out and just lights up the other team's tendy. What a unit. Unbelievable stuff. anyways, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I feel fine dropping Ehlers and Vilardi at this point right now. It's at that point of the season for me where I'm like, I'm getting a little bit cutthroat. You know what I mean? Like if they're really not helping my team, then I'm out on it. I'll make a quick decision and live with it. You know, I don't think you're missing out on a ton with those players in particular. I mean, Ehlers is the one for me where I'm like, okay. Cause I actually saw a tweet recently. Rick Bonus was saying he was potentially going to swap Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers just in their even strength deployment, like on their line. So Ehlers with Scheifele and I don't know who the other person is on that.
Vilardi.
Vilardi, right. Okay. So maybe that does some difference, but if Ehlers isn't getting power play one consistently, like I'm out, you know what I mean? And Vilardi isn't really doing the thing either. So anyways, with all that, let's move on. There are 14 teams that have three games with zero off nights, and they're going to, you'll have to check those teams out for yourself, right? They're going to be tough to roster. You got to take a look at the bubble players there, and those could be your potential drops too, especially on the, Thursday and the Saturday. Those are going to be really tough nights. All right, let's move on to the best teams to stream or the creams, dreams, streams. I just got to think of more words that rhyme with stream. I actually downloaded an app recently to help, you know, make my vocabulary better. And even that, just saying make my vocabulary better, that I need help with that sentence, right? I need some more synonyms, that, you know, so I'm working on that, everybody. I'm a professional podcaster. I need to do my due diligence here. Anywho, let's talk about the best teams to stream. We already mentioned Arizona. They've got the four-game schedule with four off nights. Excellent. And the good thing is about Arizona, they got a bunch of viable streamers. These guys are all rostered like in a, you know, pretty low. So I think you can pick up a lot of these guys. And I want to get your take on this, Nate, and maybe how you would rank them. So obviously we got, you know, Nick Schmaltz, who's a guy we've been touting all season, who's definitely been underachieving, right? Hasn't been as efficient. Lawson Krause, that beefer, right, on the second line. Logan Cooley, Nick Bjugstad, Jay-Z, Jason Zucker, Big Pimpin, Alex Kerfoot, that legend, that 20-minute legend, Matias Michelli, and then Barrett Hayton is back in the mix. Although he only played 13 minutes the other night, did jack squat. So I don't know. I don't know where we see Barrett Hayton moving forward. I'm still high on the player, but how would you rank these guys, Nate? Actually, sorry, I forgot Dylan Genther and JJ Moser as well. Throw them in there.
Sure. Yeah, I'll rank them all in the context of the other players we'll talk about too. I think it's important to evaluate, you know, what you're going to get from these guys in a situation like this where we have all these off nights where we really have to have off nights. Yeah. Obviously, these guys get elevated, and the best secondary source of off nights are teams that have two off nights. So it's really like you have to evaluate the players from the other team and say they're literally twice as good as the guys from Arizona. Are they twice as good or twice as likely to produce for me? So that's what you have to kind of evaluate. I would say still like Nick Schmaltz is clearly at the top of this list for me. The ice time has come up a little bit in the last game here. Even he was up above 19 minutes again. He's up to 54th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 across his last four here. I think it's just a matter of time before he starts to turn things back and starts to produce what he has in the past. Like, if you look at his shots per 60, it's been almost identical the last three seasons, including this season. It's just probably some bad luck. His individual scoring chances for per 60 is actually the best this season of his last three. So it's not like he's, you know, fallen off this year in any way, shape, or form. It's really just been the efficiency hasn't quite been there. The luck metrics haven't quite been there. His IPP is at 61%. The last two seasons, 72% and 75%. So that feels like it should bounce back in a fairly substantial way for him. The on-ice shooting percentage substantially lower than it has been the last couple of seasons as well. So I do think that Nick Schmaltz is due for some positive regression, and I'd be happy to jump in on Schmaltz if he's available in your league. Just 18% rostered right now is Nick Schmaltz. So he's priority for me for sure, and a clear tier above everybody else here in my mind. Lawson Crouse is another guy I think you're going to be interested in, especially if you're in any sort of bangers form. He's going to offer you that and provide you with a good chance to score a couple goals across these four games here. And yeah, definitely the clear number two option in my mind. Barrett Hayton is interesting just because of the chemistry that he displayed last year with Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz. And you have to feel like there's a pretty solid chance that as he works back from this injury, they got another game here on Saturday. I will be watching the lines from that game very closely to see if they change anything up, if they move Hayton up the lineup, if he produces anything. Any good signs for Barrett Hayton could really cause him to skyrocket up my rankings for sure as far as next week is concerned. So I do anticipate that at some point in the next week, Hayton will get a shot between Keller and Schmaltz on the top line and probably move up to the top power play as well. I'm kind of talking myself into Hayton as my second guy behind Schmaltz, actually, as we go through it here. But I do think that, yeah, I mean, they've got Jack McBain centering Keller at this point. And for however much we love Jack McBain on this podcast, I don't think he has the offensive upside of Barrett Hayton whatsoever. So
how dare you? Talking Yang on McBain.
I wasn't trying to, but an inadvertent shot fired there, I guess. Yeah, the rest of the guys, like the last power play one unit involved Jason Zucker and Dylan Genther. So those would be the other guys that I'd be looking at. If they maintain that through Saturday's game, then I would have some interest in them for next week as well. But I do, it's not like those are two players I'm staring down like in some of my leagues, right, for next week where I'm like, okay, I really got to be prioritizing these Arizona guys. I've got some ads left this week that I might be using to look ahead for next week. But I still can't pull the trigger on Zucker or Genther because they still got this one more game here. And I do feel like that there's probably a better than 50% chance that at least one of those guys comes off that top unit before next week. And so I've got to have some sort of assurance before I move in on a guy who very well could be skating, you know, like line three, power play two minutes in Arizona next week.
Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, lots to be said here for sure. Watching the Saturday lines is going to be very crucial to see what we think these players' deployment is going to be for next week. But yeah, I guess the top guys for sure, Nick Schmaltz at the top, and then Barrett Hayton, assuming he does get a chance to move up the lineup, and then Lawson Crouse as well would be the guys to watch for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I'm low-key stoked on some of these players. Like, if you can get Crouse, Schmaltz, or Hayton, I think those are your top tiers to me. But yeah, I mean, if you did get Jason Zucker, not the worst thing in the world. Like, he obviously, you know, peripherally, he's pretty good. So if you have any banger waiting, there's some options there. But yeah, some interesting stuff. I don't know. You should be able to get an Arizona player if you so choose. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the next three teams here. Minnesota Wild, New York Rangers, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. They all play three games with two off nights. So that, again, those off nights are king, right? We talked about that. So, and Minnesota, they play the Monday, Wednesday, Arizona plays the Monday, Wednesday, and then New York's off nights are Monday, Sunday. So that becomes a little bit more challenging if you're, you know, getting some Rangers in there, but Rangers did have a good schedule this last week here. So if you're holding a guy like Alex Lafreniere, or even Kako, or I don't know who else, Keandre Miller, you can hold them till Monday and then probably bounce them, right? If you want. But anyways, I do like Minnesota, though, because they do have that Monday, Wednesday. But let's look at some of the players available there. So we're looking at Ryan Hartman, pretty much, and Marco Rossi, and then Marcus Johansson as well. You got to throw him in there. And then Jonas Brodin as well. Tonight had a goal and an assist. So, I mean, that's an outlier for sure, but the guy's still viable. Like, he's kind of that Matthias Ekholm mold. You know what I mean? He can chip in with the odd point, and, you know, he's going to give you some periffs that'll at least keep his floor reasonable. But I don't know. Hartman, Rossi, Brodin, Johansson, what are you doing with any of these players? Are you targeting any of them, Nate?
For myself, I think that, yeah, really it's just Hartman if he keeps on the top line. I actually didn't check to see.
Yeah, I meant to say
on the top line here.
Yeah, he didn't. They loaded up. They did Joel Eriksson, Ek, Kaprizov, and Boldy on the top line. And they pulled out the dub. Boldy got a goal and assist. Cap got a goal and assist. Ek had an assist. So it was a nice little game.
Yeah, that's of interest too, right? Because, yeah, when they go Jeek, Boldy, Kaprizov on the top line, they get a W. And yeah, whenever things work out, then you feel like there's a pretty good chance that that continues into next week, right? So that's something to monitor for sure. Rossi playing with Zuccarello and Johansson makes Rossi at least a little bit interesting. That was actually the line that got the most 5v5 time I'm seeing here. So that has some interest. Hartman got all the way down with Foligno and Gaudreau, which is not a place you want to be in 2024 here. Almost said 2023. Still living in the past year.
Yeah, me too. That was a good year.
Yeah. But so that definitely changes some stuff up for their outlook for sure. The power play unit stayed unchanged. Zuccarello, Jeek, Boldy, Kaprizov, and then Faber running it from the back end. I agree that Brodin is really just, you know, that's probably the best game of his season, a goal and an assist for fantasy purposes. You know, you could hope to run into a couple assists next week, but that would probably be your best case scenario from Brodin for next week. So not too excited there. I guess I would probably put Rossi ahead of Hartman now, just based on the latest deployment here. But again, I'm not super excited about either of these guys moving forward from Minnesota.
Yeah, and you should definitely roster the Zucchini Man and also the Lucchini Man. All right, Jake Lucchini, that fourth line center. He got a goal the other night, buddy. I love this. I love this narrative right here. I'm going to, you know, just keep hitting it until the wheels fall off. All right, Lucchini, Zucchini. You see the correlation here, folks. All right, they rhyme. That's really the only correlation. This is good. This is good content right here, Nate. All right, sure. Yeah, thank you. Let's move on to the New York Rangers. And like I said, they play the Monday off night. So, you know, hopefully you can hold on to some of these guys. You can potentially drop, or you can hold them all week and get the Sunday off night as well. But we're looking at Alexis Lafreniere, Blake Wheeler, Kaapo Kakko, and Keandre Miller. Those are kind of that's your group that you're looking at here. Is there any of these players that you're interested in? Are we still in on Alex Lafreniere, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, he had 5 shots in the game tonight. It's been a mainstay on the Panarin line. Anybody who's really getting exposure to Panarin the way he's been playing this year has to have some value for fantasy purposes. You know, it's going to be muted. He's never going to get power play one outside of injury is Lafreniere. But yeah, as long as he's got even strength exposure to Artemi Panarin, I'm going to have some interest. So I do think, like, yeah, I have Lafreniere in one spot and I'm hanging on to him for this week. I'm not really thinking about moving off him. I've got other fish to fry in that regard. So I think he's probably a guy who's definitely worth the juice is worth the squeeze there for sure, in my opinion. Blake Wheeler is the one playing with Zibanejad and Kreider at even strength right now, so he's probably the next up that you're most interested in. Kaapo Kakko has not been good this year. He's never really taken off the way, obviously, that they hoped he would when they drafted him second overall, but this year in particular has not been his year, had injuries, and has not been good when he's played. So I'm not really interested in Kakko. Miller is really just probably a bangers league guy at this point in my mind. He's going to run into a few points here and there because the Rangers can score, but realistically, this is a guy who's just going to provide you with a few peripheral stats and not much else. So if that's a value in your league, you can look that way, but he's definitely not a priority in my mind. Lafreniere is really the guy to be looking out for here in my mind.
Yep, there you go. Capo Caco, man, this guy, like, he's not getting near the type of opportunity that he needs to really succeed. And his ice time is down this year. He's down 2 minutes. Like, he just doesn't look good. Like, we're looking at a bust here, I think, as long as he stays with the Rangers. I think, you know, it probably behooved them to move this guy to another team that's actually going to give him some minutes. But yeah, rough stuff for Caco. Awesome name, though. Let's move on. Pittsburgh, we're looking at Brian Rust. Raquel on a strange erotic journey from Milan to Minsk. And he's back again. Milan to Minsk to Pittsburgh. That's, why would you throw Pittsburgh in that mix? Just stay in Minsk. That's kind of a neat place. I don't even know where Minsk is. I think it's Russia, so maybe not the place to go right now. Anyways, Riley Smith as well is there. Rust and Riley Smith are both on power play one currently, while Evgeny Malkin is taking power play two for some reason. Can you question Mike Sullivan at this point? You'd just be like, okay, coach, whatever you say. Like, you've won some cups. You know what the hell you're doing. But I don't know. Malkin on the second power play? I don't know. Who do you like here of these three players, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, Rust has to be the priority. Top line, top power play, playing 20-plus minutes a night at this point. Didn't get anything tonight, but the other night he had a good result in the score sheet. And yeah, the average over the last five games is over 22 minutes a night, 22nd in the league in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 through that stretch. Like, I mean, he's getting exposure to Crosby, who's having just yet another terrific season at whatever age he's at now, like 36. It's just incredible what Crosby's able to do. And Rust is obviously a guy who has some chemistry with them after all these years playing together, now on a 66 point pace on the season, and nothing unsustainable about his metrics whatsoever. So I'm fully aboard with the Brian Rust train for sure. If he's still available in your league, he probably should not be. Raquel has been playing down the lineup on the third line. That's not great. And honestly, all his peripherals have fallen off. Earlier, he was absolutely crushing it. Again, playing with Crosby can do that for you. So maybe there's a little bit more to that, just the Crosby exposure that we should be thinking about there. But definitely, I think Raquel is not much more than a deep league option at this point. And Riley Smith getting top power play has some interest. He did get a goal in the game tonight, so that's obviously a good sign for him. But again, it's not a guy that I'm like over the moon about. He only skated 14:42 even with the top power play tonight, so it's not like he's out there in every situation or anything like that. He's just another option you can consider in a deep league.
Yep, love me some Brian Rust. A fun fact, Minsk is in Belarus. I just looked it up. I Googled it. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that. I'm terrible with geography, man. Like, I don't know where anything is. Even the States, I don't know what's going on. Like, to all our American listeners, I'm sorry. I barely know how to get to town, like, from where I am. You know what I mean? I'm just really bad, directionally challenged. So Minsk, yeah, that's another planet to me. All right, let's move on. We got to talk about the next two teams here, LA Kings and the New Jersey Devils. They both play four games with one off night. So that's good. All right. But LA's off night is the Sunday and New Jersey's off night is the Monday. They play Monday, Tuesday with that back to back. So New Jersey's a nice option there if you can get somebody in for the Tuesday. Then you get, you know, two games, one move. I like that. All right. That feels good. But let's look at some of these players for the Kings. Obviously, we got to talk about Quentin Byfield. I think this guy, he should be on a roster already, but, you know, yeah, his rostership is still fairly low, which is insane. Victor Arvidsson, we talked about him. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I mean, yeah, you're kicking tires now at this point, especially if Arvidsson comes back and plays with PLD. I think that ups PLD's floor a little bit. Get an offensive player in there, and Alex Laferriere has been playing pretty good as well. Philip Deneau, Matt Roy, rounded out there some of your streamers on LA. Who are you targeting, Nate, and why?
Yeah, I mean, if Byfield's out there, he's got to be the target. 69th in shots per 60 over his last few games here, which is pretty nice. 34th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. 26th in on-ice Corsi, 4 per 60. I think, actually, Byfield has a case to be the Kings' best player over this last little stretch where they've not been winning games, but have actually been doing pretty well against their opponents in terms of the advanced metrics. So I think Byfield's a clear play in that regard. Still Dubois not looking good in the underlying metrics, not getting a lot of ice time, so I'm not super in on that one. Deneau is going to get ice time, so he's going to run into a few points. Like, on the season, he's pacing for 17 goals, 51 points. That feels about right. So, you know, he is what he is. He's a streamer. So if you're getting him in on these off night, on these heavy nights, then I mean, you can get him, but you're probably not able to fit him in. Realistically, you're more likely to get in a player like Matt Roy on defense. If you end up having, like, if you have Sean Durzi, then you probably have an open D slot for all the heavy nights, and you can fit in a guy like Matt Roy, who's going to give you four games this week. And Matt Roy actually has some value in my mind. He's been pretty solid in producing some shots throughout the year and definitely hits and blocks all the peripheral categories. If LA does get into a bit of a run here in this week and finally does get things back on track under the new coach, then maybe Matt Roy can run into some points for you as well. And that would be a player that I'd be kind of interested in for sure.
Absolutely. Totally agree on Matt Roy. I've rostered this guy at times during the year, and he's always returned some reasonable value. He's just a boring fantasy guy that's going to chip away, give you, you know, 2 to 5 fantasy points a night, you know, but that's very valuable, especially in a 4-game week. All right, let's move on to the New Jersey. We got to talk about Dawson Mercer. I don't want to wait. Oh, that's Dawson's Creek theme song. Eric Halla, Alexander Holtz, Andre Palat, and Simone Nemec. Those are your guys that we're sort of looking at here with New Jersey. Yeah, I mean, where are you at with these players? Is Timo Meier, was he dropped? Because if he was, you should probably pick up Timo Meier. I've got a lot of questions on Meier here recently. Like, this guy is stinky this year.
Yeah, it's not been great for sure. I mean, yeah, you can go out and add Timo Meier if he's been dropped and just kind of give him this week to see if he starts to turn things around. The underlying metrics are not great, but not terrible at the same time. The even strength line is not great. Eric Halla and Dawson Mercer as the line mates, like, that's not moving the needle for me. Definitely still not on the top power play. No exposure to Jack Hughes, which is really kind of what we're playing for in terms of fantasy in New Jersey at this point. Andre Palat had a nice night the other night with 2 goals. He's playing with Heischer and Bratt. Bratt is like a low-key star. I think he's definitely does not get the love he deserves from the fantasy community in particular. I think that Andre Palat, as long as he's attached to that line with Heischer and Bratt and feels like he probably will stay there for a bit after having that good game, he'll have some relevance, but he's still not getting enough minutes for me to be super confident in making that call. Holtz, I mean, if he stays on a Jack Hughes line, sure. I could see myself getting interested in an Alex Holtz stream for a deep league. That could be of interest to me. Eric Halla is just kind of a guy who's going to, at the end of the year, you're going to look up and he scored 45 points. You're going to be like, yeah, that's Eric Halla. That's what he does. He generally plays middle 6 minutes and he ends up with 40 to 45 points at the end of the year. So he's just that guy who you can stream if everybody else is gone. Dawson Mercer has had an up and down year, mostly down. The underlying metrics have been pretty terrible all year and have not really been much better lately. So I'm overall still pretty out on Dawson Mercer, to be quite honest. I made him streamer of the week 1 week against you, and it did not go well for me. And so I'm kind of a little bit gun shy on Dawson Mercer in that regard as well, Blake. So that might be coloring my opinion of him. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even know how to rank these guys at the end of all that. Like, I guess
they're all the same, aren't they? They're kind of similar.
They feel very similar for different reasons. Yeah, I guess you could try to stay hot with Andre Palat with just the amount of points that he's been able to put up as of late. Maybe you want to stay in the flames there, but yeah, none of these guys really making me too excited for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think if I had to go, yeah, probably Mercer, Palat, or switch that. Yeah, Palat and Mercer. Those are the two that I'm low-key interested in. And then everything else is kind of like, well, everybody else is gone, so I better pick up one of these studs. But yeah, it's not looking good. Let's move on to the last section here of good teams. There are a bunch of teams that play 3 games with 1 off night. Well, I'm going to list the teams. And then, Nate, I'll get you to name a player from each team that you're looking at there. How about we do that? So we're looking at the Calgary Flames, Carolina Hurricanes, the Colorado Avalanche, Florida Panthers, Philadelphia Flyers, San Jose Sharks, and the Seattle Kraken. All right. Now, there's only one correct answer for you for the Calgary Flames. Who are you picking up, Nate?
It's got to be Big Cousy, right?
Big Cousy. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's back.
It's absolutely back. First in the league in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60.
Never a doubt.
Over the last five games here. So shout out to Big Koozie. Absolutely love to see it. Yeah, he's got a Monday off night and then Thursday, Saturday heavy night. So not too exciting in the back half of the week. But if you've got Koozie already, then definitely hang on for the Monday, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. Carolina, what could you do with Carolina? Nothing could be finer.
Yeah, nothing too crazy, but I mean, Teuvo Teravainen has 9 points in his last five. I'm just going to try to stay in the Flames there. I'll roll with Teravainen.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you see with Svechnikov coming back? What do you see Teravainen? What's his role if Svech comes back?
Yeah, honestly, it's tough to say because they do switch this stuff around so much, and a lot of their wingers play both sides and do all of that. So there's a lot of optionality through the lineup. But Teravainen is actually he's overperformed this year for sure in terms of the underlying metrics. But I mean, he's on a 26 goal, 56 point pace. And I feel like he's the guy that they're going to keep up there. Like, even if he's bumped off the top power play unit, he probably stays on the top line with Aho and he'll still have relevance that way.
See, I could see it going the other way. I could see them bump Teravainen off the top line, but keep him on the top power play and maybe boot the bunt cake. Get him the hell out of my sight. But, I don't know. That's what I'm hoping happens. If Teravainen stays on power play one, this guy's looking good because he's a great power play performer. So anyways, that's my two cents on that. Move on to Colorado. Who are you picking up, Nate? Who's your Huckleberry?
It's got to be Arturi Lehkonen. We talked some back and forth on this. Lehkonen now taking over line one, power play one as of the last game. So you got to just stay with whoever's getting that deployment in Colorado. We've talked about this a few times, but Bednar definitely does move things around throughout the season. And Lekkonen's the guy there right now. And so Lehkonen is the guy to roster right now.
Beautiful. Florida Panthers, what say you?
From Florida, I think it's still Sam Bennett for the most part. I mean, Evan Rodriguez is on the top line, getting exposure to Alexander Barkov, which is basically the only time that Evan Rodriguez is rosterable for fantasy purposes. So I don't hate that one either, but Sam Bennett has been pretty consistent on that line with Matt Tkachuk, and Matt Tkachuk is absolutely taken off at the moment, so I'll stick with Sam Bennett here.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Bennett there, but they actually just switched something up there in Florida. I had it tweeted it out, but they're doing something weird. They got Barkov, Reinhardt, and I'm gonna totally flub this, but they did change the line there. I'm just trying to find it. Yeah, Barkov, Verhaeghe, and Lorenz. That's what they had. But Reinhardt was he was taking a break for practice. But it could be Verhaeghe, Barkov, and Reinhardt. Then they got Bennett, Tkachuk, and Cousins as the second line, and Rodriguez was bumped down to the third. So that's something that Jameson Olive posted here on Twitter. So anyways, something to keep an eye on, but I still think Bennett's the man there. Over to Philadelphia.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, I mean, Joel Farabee's 50% rostered. If he is available in your league, I think he is the top play there in my mind. If he's not, then you're moving on to Sean Couturier. I think he should be doing much, much better. He's 34th in shots per 60 over the last five, 8th in on ice Corsi 4 per 60. I think he should have way more points this year than he's been able to garner so far, just shooting 7.1%, 50% IPP, 10.2% on ice shooting percentage. I think he deserves a lot better than what he's got so far. I do think that there are some good games coming for Sean Couturier in the near future. So if Farabee's rostered, then Couturier is the clear add in my mind.
Yep, agree with that. And then San Jose, it's really between Thomas the Turtle Hurdle and Logan Couture. So which way are you going there?
Yeah, Hurdle picked up a day-to-day designation, missed Wednesday's game against Anaheim last week, so just make sure that there's nothing lingering here, but assuming that he's good to go and everything's fine, Hurdle is the clear ad for me. Couture has not had a very good return. He's started to get more minutes, which is a good sign, but the underlying metrics are truly awful, and he has yet to register a point, so not super happy with what we've seen from Couture in terms of fantasy output, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one. Just San Jose in general. What a, dumpster fire. And then release the Kraken, Nate. Release your pick from the Kraken all over everybody's ears. God, that's just, I don't know. I'm going to work on that. Anyways, Seattle Kraken, who are you taking, Nate? Let's go.
Yeah, I'll go to the jerk store with Bjorkstrand here. 32nd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 over his last 5 points in that stretch. Jordan Eberle actually has more point production, 6 points in his last 5, but the underlying metrics are not quite as good. I'll stick with the guy who's actually generating those chances. I'll stick with Bjorkstrand there.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. Now, Nate, tell us the best players to stream for this upcoming week, ranked by you.
All right, ranked by me, it's got to be Nick Schmaltz at the top. You know I'm going to stick with my boy here. And then, as I mentioned, I have kind of talked myself into Barrett Hayton as the second choice here. I just think that there's every chance that Barrett Hayton at some point in the 4 games that Arizona does play next week, probably sooner rather than later, plays himself into the top line role there and gets exposure to Schmaltz and Keller. So I'll put Barrett Hayton as the second and then Lawson Crouse as the third. Then Brian Rust, even though, you know, you're probably only getting 2 games played out of Brian Rust with the 2 off nights that Pittsburgh has next week, I think he's probably your 4th player here, to be quite honest with you. I'd take him over Jason Zucker. I'd take him over Dylan Genther as the 2 guys currently on the top power play unit, or whoever else, honestly, that Arizona graduates to that top power play unit. If they put anybody else there, I'd still take Rust over those guys, even if you only get him in for 2 games. I think he's just as likely to score more points in those 2 games than any of these other Arizona guys are across their 4. So I'd take Rust at 4, followed by Zucker and Genther at the moment, just because they are the power play 1 guys. You can put whoever here after the next game if they do change up those units. Matias Michelli, the shots have really fallen off here for Michelli, but he is still a guy who can run into a bunch of assists at any given time, and so I do think he has some upside for a 1-week stream in that regard. And then I'll go to Alexis Lafreniere, who we mentioned, the case for him playing with Panarin there for the Rangers. Ricard Raquel is still throw in here along with Marco Rossi at the bottom, but it is getting to be pretty slim pickings once you get down there. And I could hear arguments for a guy like Bukestad off of Arizona. You know, there are some other names as well that you could really throw in this loop, and I'd be okay with at this point. After Lafreniere, I start to get really a lot less confident in the names that I'm placing here. Any thoughts on the list there, Blake?
Yeah, not really. I think after your top 4 there, you know, anything below Rust, yeah, it's just semantics at that point. I think those top 4 are the guys you're hoping to get for this week.
For sure. All right, let's move on to hits and blocks. So for hits, I'm kind of assuming here, just the way that I've ranked them out here, that if they're defensemen, that you can actually fit them in for the 4 games played, even if they are on the heavy nights. And for that reason, I've got Andreas Englund from LA at the top here. If you can fit him in for all 4 games, Englund is a big-time hitter, and he will provide you with a ton of hits. Lawson Crouse, Matt Dumba, Jack McBain, Liam O'Brien, all these guys from Arizona hit, and so they are definitely really solid streaming options from Arizona if you need the off nights. Nathan Bastian and Curtis Lazar, big time hitters from New Jersey. If you need a couple of off nights, just like a part game, part week stream rather, for the week ahead, you can definitely go that route for some hits as well. On the block side, Matt Roy from LA is definitely the top option, and yeah, an overall option, as we mentioned, can probably provide you some shots and will probably run into a point or two as well for you. Kevin Ball, Simon Nemec, John Marino, defenseman from New Jersey, definitely options as well. Mikey Anderson and Andreas Englund, Vladislav Gavrikov, all blockers from LA that you can look at. And then if you do need the off nights from Arizona, then the guys you're looking at are JJ Moser, Travis Dermott, and then Jack McBain as a forward actually does run into some blocks as well, so you can look that way as well. Any thoughts on the big time hitters and blockers here, Blake?
If you want hitters and blockers, you go get yourself some prime rib beef, Jack McBain.
For sure. All right, so let's talk about some players that we can add for the rest of the season. At this point in the season, like, we're past the All-Star break now, you know, things are getting a little bit more condensed, I will say, because the players that are in it for the long haul, the players that are going for the championship this year in your league, those managers have all kind of dialed in, and a lot of the players that should be rostered are being rostered in your active leagues at this point. But honestly, there are still some players out there in a lot of leagues that I do think should be rostered. Troy Terry's still under 50% rostered. That's a travesty, in my opinion. Troy Terry could very well score a point per game for the rest of the season and wouldn't surprise me, even given the state of the Anaheim Ducks at this point. Nick Schmaltz, as I mentioned, I do think he's going to get going. He's had some bad luck metrics to this point. I do think, you know, Barrett Hayton coming back can only help Nick Schmaltz as well. So I like Nick Schmaltz here as a good option. Quinton Byfield, talked about him as actually driving a lot of play for LA as of late. So he's got to be at the top of the list here. That's definitely like a top tier in my mind. Terry, Schmaltz, Byfield, definitely guys that should be rostered moving forward. Thomas Hertl, I do think, is going to be there when all is said and done at the end of the season as a guy you're just never going to be sad was on your team for the full season. He's going to definitely have some cold streaks and some hot streaks along the way, given the state of the San Jose franchise, but he's going to provide you with some points at the end of it all. Brian Rust makes the list as the fifth option here. Yeah, it's going to take some really good work from either Riley Smith or Ricard Raquel to unseat him at this point, and Rust is pulling away from the pack in that group in my mind right now. Gabriel Vilardi has been higher on this list, but he's actually had a really tough go of it as of late. The underlying metrics have fallen off in a big way, and so it wouldn't shock me if he does get moved down the lineup off the top power play unit in the next little bit, so I'm just kind of baking that in a little bit as of right now. I still think that he's valuable just because of that line one power play usage, but I'm growing less and less confident that he's going to hang on to it just because he hasn't been playing super well, no points, and the underlying metrics not reflecting very well on him either. Boone Jenner, Arturi Lehkonen rounding out the top group here for me. Jenner obviously just locked into top deployment. There's no way that he's not going to get a ton of minutes for the rest of the season. So you kind of feel like you can safely assume that at some point he's going to figure it out a little bit and get some points back up on the board, get some shots up once again. Lehkonen on that top line, top power play as of right now. Terrific streamer. I think he's going to have some ups and downs throughout that lineup. As we mentioned, Bednar moves those lines around a lot throughout the course of the season, but Lehkonen's still a pretty good bet to be on that top line, top power play, maybe like 60% of the time. Rest of the season would be a good benchmark. So I do think he'll have some staying power there. And I mean, we've still got lots of options beyond that. We got Wyatt Johnston out there in Dallas playing on a top line, not the top power play, but the top line doing some things. Josh Norris, Dylan Strome, as we mentioned, Max Pacioretty, Sean Couturier, Yegor Sharangovich. There's a lot of guys out there who can definitely provide you some value that maybe your league mates are sleeping on. Who in this list do you like, Blake? Is there anybody that I've ranked highly here that you disagree with?
No, definitely don't disagree. I think Hertl. Yeah, I like Lehkonen better than Hertl. So I'd probably, sure, you know, I'd probably put Lehkonen a little higher, but I mean, this is a great list. Actually, in Vilardi too, I'm not a big fan of really at this point. But yeah, it's a great list. These guys, a lot of them are available, so you got to go kick tires. I like Arvidsson and I like Lehkonen. Those are two guys that I'm targeting. And Hayton too. Those guys, and I know you'll talk about them in a second, but those are guys that I think are sneaky and they're out there and people might be sleeping on them.
Fair enough. So sub 20% rostered, give you a couple options here. Nick Schmaltz is under 20% rostered, so definitely that's my top pick there. But Max Pacioretty is down to 18% as well. Might not be the greatest week to pick him up given Washington's two-game schedule this week, but Max Pacioretty has had some really solid underlying metrics. Seems like he's been able to generate shots even after coming off back-to-back Achilles injuries. So yep. I am still relatively in on Max Pacioretty, especially if the cost to acquire is just an add here. There. Sub 10% rostered. I've got three names here actually. Jurij Slakovský from Montreal at 7%, Barrett Hayton at 4%, and Fabian Zetterlund at 2%. Of these three, I think they all share a very strong similarity in that they're all players from teams that are not performing very well, all players from teams that, you know, fantasy managers are discounting at this point in the season and are really not paying a lot of attention to. And inevitably, every season we get a late season streamer who turns into a rest of season hold and actually produces at like a point per game pace. I honestly feel pretty confident that one of these three will be close to, if not exactly, that guy who produces at, you know, maybe like maybe call it a 70-point pace for the rest of the season. I feel like pretty confident that one of these three will be that guy for the rest of the season. I'm not obviously much less confident in picking exactly which one of them will be that guy, but all three of these guys have the runway to, you know, see potentially like even 20 minutes a game for the rest of the season. And if that happens, if they get on a hot streak, there's a lot that could happen to make these guys super fantasy relevant. And so I do have some love for these guys at the moment. Any thoughts on the lower rostered players, Blake?
Yeah, just, you know, it's funny. Ever since Mark Barber brought up Juraj Slefkovský, now I've heard about him from so many other people. So shout out to Mark Barber, at 18 Skaters on Twitter. This guy's ahead of the curve. So I don't know. I'm looking at that player now. I mean, obviously the metrics are stinky, but like you said, there's runway there and they're really not playing for anything. So they could throw this guy out there for 20 minutes. No problem.
For sure. Let's move on to defense. This is rough for sure. There's no two ways about it. Matthias Ekholm, Colton Parayko with the injuries to the St. Louis defense corps makes the list. Torrey Krug also very interesting if he's going to get a ton of time on ice and power play time. Cam Fowler has a goal and assist tonight in the game against Edmonton. So he's having a night. And then Jamie Drysdale, who we mentioned, getting a look on the top power play. So all five of these guys have some interest from me, but definitely this is the time of the season where it becomes very, very difficult to find anything of value in terms of defensemen on the waiver wire. And this is why I like to be in a spot where I'm feeling pretty comfortable with my defensemen that I do have by this point in the season. Sub 20% rostered. I'll throw Matt Roy in here. Obviously a good week to pick him up if you do need a defenseman with the four games played this week. Sub 10% rostered. I want to throw out Simon Nemich as a potential add here. I think that Simon Nemich is actually a pretty good player, all things told. And yeah, the Devils have kind of been up and down. Hughes has been in and out of the lineup, which has definitely had a big effect on the Devils overall. It does seem like they're a pretty different team whenever Jack Hughes is not around. But overall, I do kind of believe in the player, and I think it's as likely as not that Simon Nemich actually has a really strong end to the season. So I am kind of in on that player for sure. Any thoughts on these guys here, Blake?
No notes. I'd love it if they called Zellweger back up to the big club here. That'd be nice. But yeah, nothing blowing the doors down. That's for dang sure.
For sure. Let's finish off with the goalies then. We still got UPL under 50% rostered at 47%. Sam Ersson, who had a couple of really solid starts this week, 40% rostered. And then Sam Montembeau from Montreal starting to take over that net a little bit and steal some games for them, quite honestly. He's been actually quite good this season and end of last season. He was quite good as well. It seems like he's actually developing into a decent little piece for Montreal moving forward. So Montembeau makes the list for sure. Sub 25% rostered, you know, with the four-game schedule next week, I don't mind David Rittich at 19%. I do think the Kings, like, I think they are just too talented up and down the lineup to stay this bad forever. With the new coach, some time to figure things out, you know, maybe they just needed a recalibration of sorts and they'll get back to at least a decent pace here. And David Rittich could be a big time contributor to that, or at least a beneficiary of that. Any thoughts on goalies here, Blake? Anybody I missed?
No, all viable attendees. Lindgren as well. I don't know where he's rostered, but he had such a stinky week. And now that could be even more kind of muddy with Kemper there. They could have a true timeshare. So, yeah, these are great. Ersson is the guy I'm interested in the most here.
Fair enough. All right. We do need to talk about the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. On the season, Blake is up 8-7, which I'm sure he's very excited about. He's probably less excited about this week because I've got Dylan Strome, who's got 12 kickoffle points after two games played with two more to come. And he's got Ross Colton with 6.5 points after three games played, just one more to go. So, yeah, definitely too early to call, but feeling pretty good for this week. Hopefully we'll even things up once again. Blake, do you have anything to say for yourself? I mentioned last time we talked about the head-to-head streamer deathmatch here that I was a little bit peeved that you picked Ross Colton, because even if I won, I was not going to feel like I won, because that would mean that Ross Colton didn't perform very well. Do you want to take a moment to say anything for yourself here?
Yeah, well, actually, so on that, how are you feeling about Ross Colton's performance? Are you upset? Because if that's the case, then I, you know, your tears sustain me. All right. That's where I'm at. So
yeah, I've cried every night this week. Holding it back right now. So yeah.
Well, then it's all worth it. Yeah, that's nice. And I still have one more game of Ross cameo, Colton, buddy. Answer a damn email. All right. This actually isn't a surprise to me with that kind of behavior.
Fair enough. All right. So I'm going to pick first here for this upcoming week, and I'm going to go with my boy Nick Schmaltz. He's let me down once before, but that was partially due to injury and coming back from injury. Nick Schmaltz is not going to let me down twice. I have full confidence in him being the best streamer for this week. Ooh. Come on, Nicky boy. Do it for me this week. What do you got, Blake?
I got to go with Quentin Byfield. All right. It's the only option, really. I mean, this guy's a unit. All right. And he's picking up his play. So I think I'm going to get the dub here. Schmaltz is going to take another week off and then go ballistic for the remainder of the season.
Awesome. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I got Byfield on my kickuffle team, so that would be all right by me. Well, if you made it this far, clearly you're enjoying some of the content here, so we would absolutely love it if you could hit like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Even if you're not, you could hit like and subscribe on YouTube. That'd be all right by us. If you're listening on a podcast, if you could leave us a rating and or review. We haven't gotten any Apple reviews in a little bit here, and I do love reading those out. Even the bad ones are actually pretty fun to read.
You don't have to say that, Nate. All right. Don't put something in their mind. Out there. Right. Yeah, come on.
Fair enough. All right. Only good reviews. Give us those 5-star reviews. That's what we're really after here. But yeah, we do enjoy reading those out here on the podcast, and we do definitely appreciate all the support we've gotten this year. The reviews have been pouring in this year, and we do appreciate it for sure. So thank you to all those who have done that for us this year. But that's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.